A penciled superscription, you see? A catalogue won't tell you. You have to turn over every page, listen, and kiss my cycle clips. O harbinger of sleep who missed the press and hoped his drone might thus escape redress. The wretched traitor, bard of Eros' couch, for his narcotic let my pencil vouch.
Is it his handwriting?
Oh, come on.
Obviously not.
Christ, what do you want?
Proof.
Quite right. Who are you talking about?
Proof? Proof? You'd have to be there, you silly bitch.
I say, you're speaking of my fiancé.
Especially since I have a present for you. Guess what I've found? Lady Croom writing from London to her husband. Her brother, Captain Bryce, married a Mrs. Chater. In other words, one might assume, a widow.
I said he was dead. What year? 1810. Oh, my God, 1810. Well done, Hannah. You're going to tell me it's a different Mrs. Chater?
No, no, it's her, all right. Note her Christian name.
Charity.
Charity? Deny what cannot be proven for charity's sake.
Don't kiss me.
She won't let anyone kiss her.
You see, they wrote, they scribbled, they put it on paper. It was their employment, their diversion. Paper is what they had, and there will be more. There is always more. We can find it.
Such passion. First Valentine, now you. It's moving.
The aristocratic friend of the tutor, under the same roof as the poor sod whose book he's savaged. First thing he does is seduce Chater's wife. All is discovered. There is a duel. Chater dead, Byron fled. P.S. Guess what? The widow married her ladyship's brother. Do you honestly think that no one wrote a word? How could they not? It dropped from sight, but we will write it again.
You can, Bernard. I'm not going to take any credit. I haven't done anything.
Well, that's very fair. Generous.
Prudent. Chater could have died of anything, anywhere.
But he fought a duel with Byron.
You haven't established it was fought. You haven't established it was Byron. For God's sake, Bernard, you haven't established Byron was even here.
I'll tell you your problem. No guts.
Really?
By which I mean a visceral belief in yourself. Gut instinct. The part of you that doesn't reason. The certainty for which there's no back reference because time is reversed. Tock-tick goes the universe and then recovers itself, but it was enough. You were in there and you bloody know.
You're talking about Lord Byron, the poet?
No, you fucking idiot. We're talking about Lord Byron, the chartered accountant.
Oh, well, he was here all right, the poet.
How do you know?
He's in the game book. I think he shot a hare. I read through the whole lot once when I had mumps. Some quite interesting people.
Where's the book?
It's not one I'm using. Too early, of course.
1809.
They've always been in the commode. Ask Chloe. Here we are. What's the matter with Bernard?
Chloe!
My mother's lent him her bicycle. Lending one's bicycle is a form of safe sex. Possibly the safest there is. My mother's in a flutter about Bernard, and he's no fool. He gave her a first edition of Horace Walpole. Now she's lent him her bicycle. Can I keep these things at Thomasina's for a while?
Yes, of course.
Yes, Gus, finished. Coming now. So I'll try and work out the diagram.
What I don't understand is why nobody did the feedback thing before. It's not like relativity. You don't have to be Einstein.
You couldn't see to look before. The electronic calculator was what the telescope was to Galileo.
A calculator?
Well, there wasn't enough time before. There weren't enough pencils. This lesson book took up I don't know how many days, and she hasn't scratched the paintwork. Nowadays, she'd only have to press a button. The same button over and over. Iteration. A few minutes. And what I've done in a couple of months, with only a pencil, the calculations would take me the rest of my life to do again. Thousands of pages. Tens of thousands. And so boring.
Do you mean...
All right, Gus, I'm coming.
Do you mean that was the only problem? Enough time and the paper and the boredom?
We're going to get out the dressing up box.
Val, is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying you'd have to have a reason for doing it.
Gus hates people shouting.
I'm sorry, but is that it? The mathematics could have been done by anyone who was willing to spend years, nothing else.
Well, the other thing is, you'd have to be insane.
Did it happen?
Could it happen? Undoubtedly it could. Only 3 years earlier, the Irish poet Tom Moore appeared on the field of combat to avenge a review by Geoffrey of the Edinburgh. These affairs were seldom fatal and sometimes farcical, but potentially the duelist stood in respect to the law no differently from a murderer. As for the murderee, A minor poet like Ezra Chater could go to his death in a Derbyshire glade as unmissed and unremembered as his contemporary and namesake, the minor botanist, who died in the forests of the West Indies, lost to history, like the monkey that bit him.
Who was that, Bernard?
Who cares? Go on, Bernard.
On April the 16th, 1809, a few days after he left Sidley Park, Byron wrote to his solicitor, John Hanson, "If the consequences of my leaving England were 10 times as ruinous as you describe, I have no alternative. There are circumstances which render it absolutely indispensable, and quit the country I must immediately." To which the editor's note in the collected letters reads as follows: "What Byron's urgent reasons for leaving England were at this time has never been revealed." The letter was written from the family seat, Newstead Abbey, Nottinghamshire. A long day's ride to the northwest lay Sidley Park, the estate of the Coverleys, a far grander family, raised by Charles II to the earldom of Croom.
Bernard,
do you mind?
Here, Valentine, read this.
Hannah!
What?
She's so rude.
What am I?
Bernard's reading is his lecture.
Yes, I know, yes, that was rude. I'm sorry, Bernard.
What is this?
Peacock's letter in holograph. I got a copy sent by the India Office Library. You are spot on, Bernard.
Hannah, shut
yes,
up.
Yes, sorry.
It's all right. It's only my boring Byron lecture. I'll read it to myself.
No.
Give it back, Valentine. I'll show you later. Go on, Bernard, go on. Have I missed anything?
Sorry. The Byrons of Newstead in 1809 comprised an eccentric widow and her undistinguished son, the lame brat, who until the age of 10, when he came into the title, had been carted about the country from lodging to lodging by his vulgar, hectoring monster of a mother, overruled, and who, 4 months past his 21st birthday, was master of nothing but his debts and his genius. Between the Byrons and the Coverleys, there was no social equality, none to be expected. The connection, undisclosed to posterity until now, was with Septimus Hodge, Byron's friend at Harrow and Trinity College. Sustained Byron's contemporary at Harrow and Trinity College, and now tutor in residence to the Croom daughter, Thomasina Coverley. Byron's letters tell us where he was on April the 8th and on April the 12th. He was at Newstead, but on the 10th he was at Sidley Park, as attested by the game book preserved there. April the 10th, 1809, forenoon, high cloud, dry and sun between times, wind southeasterly, self, Augustus, Lord Byron, 14 pigeon, 1 hare, Lord B. But, as we know now, the drama of life and death at Sidley Park was not about pigeons, but about sex and literature.
Unless you were the pigeon.
I don't have to do this. I'm paying you a compliment.
Ignore him, Bernard. Go on. Get to the duel.
Hannah's not even paying attention.
Yes, I am. It's all going in. I often work with the radio on.
Oh, thanks.
Is there much more?
Hannah.
No, it's fascinating, Bernard. I just wondered how much more there was. I need to ask Valentine about this letter. Sorry, Bernard. Go on. This for Keith.
Yes, sorry, Bernard.
Please, Bernard.
We want to hear this, don't we, Lightning?
Where was I?
Pigeons.
Sex. Literature.
Life and death. Right. Nothing could be more eloquent of that than the three documents I have quoted. The terse demand to settle a matter in private. The desperate scribble of, "My husband has sent for pistols." And, on April the 11th, the gauntlet thrown down by the aggrieved and cuckolded author Ezra Chater. The Covers have not survived. What is certain is that all three letters were in Byron's possession when his books were sold in 1816. Preserved in the pages of the Couch of Eros, which 7 years earlier at Sidley Park, Byron had borrowed from Septimus.
Borrowed?
I will be taking questions at the end. Constructive comments will be welcome. Which is indeed my reason for trying out in the provinces, prior to my London opening, under the auspices of the Byron Society, prior to publication. By the way, Valentine, do you want a credit game book recently discovered by?
It was never lost, Bernard.
Recently pointed out by? I don't normally like giving credit where it's due, but with scholarly articles, as with divorce, there is a certain cachet in citing a member of the aristocracy. I'll tell you what, I'll pop it in ad lib for the lecture and give you a mention in the press release. How's that?
Very kind.
press release? What happened to the Journal of English Studies?
Oh, that comes later in with the apparatus and in the recognised tone. Very dry, very modest, absolutely gloat-free, and yet unmistakably eat your heart out, you dozy bastards. But first, it's media don book early to avoid disappointment. Where was I?
Game book.
Eros.
Borrowed.
Right, borrowed from Septimus Hodge. Is it conceivable that the letters were already in the book when Byron borrowed it?
Yes.
Shut up, Val.
What is conceivable?
Is it likely that Hodge would have lent Byron the book without first removing the three private letters?
Look, sorry. I only meant Byron could have borrowed the book without asking. For that matter, Hodge could have been showing the letters to Byron.
Well, that would at least be typical.
Of Hodge?
Of men.
Then why wouldn't Hodge get them back?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
That's right. You bloody weren't.
Go on, Bernard.
It is the third document, the challenge itself, that convinces. Chater, as, in his own words, a man and a poet, points the finger at his slanderer in the press. Neither as a man nor as a poet did Ezra Chater cut such a figure as to be habitually slandered or even mentioned in the press. It is surely indisputable that the slander was the review of the Maid of Turkey in the Piccadilly Recreation. Did Septimus Hodge have any connection with the London periodicals? No. Did Byron? Yes. He had reviewed Wordsworth 2 years earlier. He was to review Spencer 2 years later. And do we have any clue as to Byron's opinion of Chater the poet? Yes. Who but Byron could have written the four lines penciled in to Lady Croom's copy of English Bards and Scotch Reviewers?
Almost anybody.
Darling.
Don't call me darling.
Dickhead, then. Is it likely that the man Chater calls my friend Septimus Hodge is the same man who screwed his wife and then kicked the shit out of his last book?
Put it like that, almost certain.
You've been deeply wounded in the past, haven't you, Hannah?
Nothing compared to listening to this. Why is there nothing in Byron's letters about the Piccadilly Reviews?
Exactly, because he killed the author.
But the first one, The Maid of Turkey, was the year before. Was he clairvoyant?
Letters get lost.
Thank you, exactly. There is a platonic letter which confirms everything. Lost, but ineradicable. Like radio voices rippling through the universe for all eternity. My dear Hodge, here I am in Albania, and you're the only person in the whole world who knows why. Poor C, I never wished him any harm, except in the Piccadilly, of course. It was the woman who bade me eat, dear Hodge. What a tragic business, but thank God it ended well for poetry. Yours ever, B. P.S. Burn this.
How did Chater find out Byron was the reviewer?
I don't know. I wasn't there, was I?
You wish to say something?
What? I know. Byron told Mrs. Chater in bed. Next day he dumped her, so she grasped on him and pleaded date rape.
Date rape? What does she mean? Date rape.
April the 10th.
Right! Forget! Sorry. I've had nothing but sarcasm and childish
the most sensational literary discovery
of the century.
Bernard, go on, we promise.
Only if you stop feeding tortoises.
What is his lunchtime?
Judge!
Oh, sorry.
And on condition that I am afforded the common courtesy of a scholar among scholars.
Absolutely, Mum, till you've finished.
After which any comments are to be couched in terms of accepted academic...
dignity, all right, Bernard.
Respect.
Respect, absolutely, the language of scholars. Count on it.
Thank you. Right. Last paragraph.
Without question, Ezra Chater issued a challenge to somebody. If a duel was fought in the dawn mist of Sidley Park in April 1809, his opponent, on the evidence, was a critic with a gift for ridicule and a taste for seduction. Do we need to look far? Without question, Mrs. Chater was a widow by 1810. If we seek the occasion of Ezra Chater's early and unrecorded death, do we need to look far? Without question, Lord Byron, in the very season of his emergence as a literary figure, quit the country in a cloud of panic and mystery, and stayed abroad for 2 years at a time when continental travel is unusual and dangerous. If we seek his reason, do we need to look far?
Bollocks.
Well, I think it's true.
You've left out everything which doesn't fit. Byron had been banging on for months about leaving England. There's a letter in February.
But he didn't go, did he?
Then he didn't sail until the beginning of July.
Well, everything moved more slowly then. Time was different. He was 2 weeks in Falmouth waiting on the wind or something.
Bernard! I don't know why I'm bothering. You're arrogant, greedy and reckless. You've gone from a glint in your eye to a sure thing in a hop, skip and a jump. You deserve what you get, and I think you're mad. But I can't help myself. You're like some exasperating child, pedaling its tricycle towards the edge of a cliff, and I have to do something, so listen to me. If Byron killed Chater in a duel, I'm Maria Rumania. You'll end up with so much fame, you won't leave the house without a paper bag over your head.
Actually, Bernard, as a scientist, your theory is incomplete.
But I'm not a scientist.
No, as a scientist.
I have yet to hear a proper argument.
Nobody would kill a man and then pan his book. I mean, not in that order. So he must have borrowed the book, written the review, posted it, seduced Mrs. Chater, fought a duel and departed, all in the space of 2 or 3 days. Who would do that?
Byron.
It's hopeless.
You've never understood him as you showed in your novelette.
In my what?
Oh, sorry. Did you think it was a work of historical revisionism? Byron, the spoilt child, promoted beyond his gifts by the spirit of the age, and Caroline, the closet intellectual, shafted by a male society.
I read that somewhere.
It's his review.
And bloody well said, too. You've got them backwards, darling. Caroline was romantic waffle on wheels with no talent, and Byron was an 18th century rationalist touched by genius, and he killed Chater.
If it's not too late to change my mind, I'd like you to go ahead.
I intend to. Look to the mote in your own eye. You even got the wrong bloke on the dust jacket.
Dust jacket?
What about my computer model? Aren't you going to mention it?
It's inconclusive.
The Piccadilly reviews aren't a very good fit for Byron's other reviews, are they?
What do you mean, the wrong bloke?
The other reviews aren't a very good fit for each other, are they?
No, but differently. The parameters...
Parameters? You can't stick Byron's head in your laptop. Genius isn't like your average grouse.
Well, it's all trivial anyway.
What is?
Who wrote what when?
Trivial.
Personalities.
I'm sorry, did you say trivial?
It's a technical term.
Not where I come from, it isn't.
Hang on, are you talking about my dust jacket?
The questions you're asking don't matter, you see. It's like arguing who got there first with the calculus. The English say Newton, the Germans say Leibniz. But it doesn't matter. Personalities. What matters is the calculus. Scientific progress, knowledge.
Really, why?
Why what?
Why does scientific progress matter more than personality?
Is he serious?
No, he's trivial. Bernard, are you talking about my dust jacket?
Do yourself a favour, you're on a loser.
Oh, you're going to zap me with penicillin and pesticides. Spare me that, I'll spare you the bomb and aerosols. But don't confuse progress with perfectibility. A great poet is always timely. A great philosopher is an urgent need. There's no rush for Isaac Newton. We were all quite happy with Aristotle's cosmos. Personally, I preferred it. 55 crystal spheres geared to God's crankshaft is my idea of a satisfying universe. I can't think of anything more trivial than the speed of light. Quarks, quasars, big bangs, black holes. Who gives a shit? How did you people con us out of all that status, all that money? And why are you so pleased with yourselves?
Are you against penicillin, Bernard?
Don't feed the animals. I'd push the lot of you over a cliff myself, except the one in the wheelchair. I think I might lose the sympathy vote before people had time to think it through.
What the hell do you mean, the dust jacket?
If knowledge isn't self-knowledge, it isn't doing much, mate. Is the universe expanding? Is it contracting? Is it standing on one leg and singing When Father Papered the Parlour? Leave me out. I can expand my universe without you. She walks in beauty, like the night of cloudless climes and starry skies, and all that's best of dark and bright meet in her aspect and her eyes. There you are. He wrote it after coming home from a party. What is it you're doing with grouse, Valentine? I'd love to know.
He's not against penicillin, and he knows I'm not against poetry. I've given up on the grouse.
You haven't, Valentine.
Can't do it.
Why?
It's too much noise. This is too much bloody noise!
You bastard! Bernard! Well, I think that's everybody. You can leave now. Give Gus a kick on your way out.
Yes, I'm sorry about that. It's no fun when it's not among pros, is it?
No.
Oh, well.
Do you want to know about your book jacket? Lord Byron and Caroline Lamb at the Royal Academy? Ink study by Henry Fuseli?
What about it?
It's not them.
Who says?
This Fuseli expert in the Byron Society Journal. They sent me the latest as a distinguished guest speaker.
Of course it's them. Everyone knows.
Popular tradition only. Here we are. No earlier than 1820. He's analysed it. Read at your leisure.
Analysed it?
Charming sketch, of course, but by then Byron was in Italy.
But Bernard, I know it's them.
How
it just is analysed it, my big toe.
Language.
He's wrong.
Oh, gut instinct, you mean.
He's wrong.
Well, it's all trivial, isn't it? Why don't you come?
Where?
With me.
To London. What for?
What for?
Oh, your lecture.
No, no, bugger that. Sex.
Oh. No. Thanks. Bernard!
You should try it. It's very underrated.
Nothing against it.
Yes, you have. You should let yourself go a bit. You might have written a better book, or at any rate, the right book.
Sex and literature. Literature and sex. Your conversation left to itself doesn't have many places to go. Like two marbles rolling around a pudding basin, one of them is always sex.
Oh, well, yes. Men all over.
No doubt. Einstein, relativity and sex. Chippendale, sex and furniture. Galileo, did the earth move? What the hell is it with you people? Chaps sometimes wanted to marry me, and I don't know a worse bargain. Available sex against not being allowed to fart in bed. What do you mean, the right book?
It takes a romantic to make a heroine out of Caroline Lamb. You were cut out for Byron.
So cheerio.
Oh, I'm coming back for the dance, you know. Chloe asked me.
She meant well, but I don't dance.
No, no. I'm going with her.
Oh, I see. I don't, actually.
I'm her date. Sub Rosa. Don't tell Mother.
She doesn't want her mother to know?
No, I don't want her mother to know. This is my first experience of landed aristocracy. I tell you, I'm boggle-eyed.
Bernard, you haven't seduced that girl.
Seduced her? Every time I turned round, she was up a library ladder. In the end, I gave in. That reminds me, I spotted something between her legs that made me think of you.
Ow! Ooh. The Peaks Traveller and Gazetteer.
James Godolphin, 1832. Unillustrated, I'm afraid. Sidley Park, property of the Earl of Crewe.
The world is going to hell in a handcart.
5,000 acres, including 40 of lake, the park by Brown and Noakes has pleasing features in the horrid style. Viaduct, grotto, etc. A hermitage occupied by a lunatic since 20 years without discourse or companion, save for a pet tortoise, Plautus by name, which he suffers children to touch on request. A tortoise, there must be a feature.
Thank you.
Station taxis front.
Yeah, thanks. Oh, did your peacock letter come up, Trumps? Good news.
For some.
Hermit's name and CV. Let's have a look. My dear Thackeray, God, I'm good. Here you are. Well, wish me luck. I'm sorry about, you know, and about
Piss
your...
Piss off, Bernard.
Right.
Don't let Bernard get to you. It's only performance art, you know, rhetoric. They used to teach it in ancient times like PT. It's not about being right. They had philosophy for that. Rhetoric was their chat show. Bernard's indignation is only a sort of aerobics for when he gets on television.
I don't care to be rubbished by the dustbin man. Peacock, have to say. The what of the lunatic?
Here, let me see. The testament of the lunatic serves as a caution against French fashion. For it was Frenchified mathematic that brought him to the melancholy certitude of a world without light or life, as a wooden stove that must consume itself until ash and stove are as one, and heat is gone from the earth. He died aged 70 years, hoary as Job and meagre as a cabbage stalk, the proof of his prediction even yet unyielding to his labours for the restitution of hope through good English algebra.
That's it?
Is there anything in it?
In what? We are all doomed. Oh, yeah, sure. It's called the second law of thermodynamics.
Was it known about?
By poets and lunatics from time immemorial.
Seriously?
No.
Is it anything to do with Thomasina's discovery?
She didn't discover anything.
Her lesson book?
No.
A coincidence, then?
What is?
He died aged 70 years. That was in 1834. So he was born in 1787. So was the tutor. He says so in his letter to Lord Croom when he recommended himself for the job. Date of birth, 1787. The hermit was born in the same year as Septimus Hodge.
Did Bernard bite you in the leg?
Don't you see? I thought my hermit was a perfect symbol, an idiot in the landscape. But this is better. The age of enlightenment banished into the romantic wilderness. The genius of Sidley Park living on in the hermit's hut.
You don't know that.
Oh, but I do. I do. Somewhere there will be something. If only I can find it.
Seem to be locked out. What time is it?
5:30.
Ah, that's what I have. Well, what a bracing experience. The dawn, you know, it's unexpectedly lively. Fishes, birds, frogs, rabbits, and very beautiful. If only it did not occur so early in the day. I bought Lady Thomasina a rabbit. Will you take it?
It's dead.
Yes. Lady Thomasina loves a rabbit pie.
You will miss Mr. Hodge.
I decided to sleep last night in the boathouse. Did I see a carriage leaving the park?
Captain Bryce's carriage. With Mr. and Mrs. Chater also.
Gone?
Yes, sir. And Lord Byron's horse was brought round at 4:00.
Lord Byron, too?
Yes, sir. The house had been up and hopping.
But I have his rabbit pistols. What am I to do with his rabbit pistols?
You were looked for in your room.
By whom?
By her ladyship.
In my room?
I shall tell her ladyship you are returned.
Jellyby.
Sir?
Did Lord Byron leave a book for me?
A book?
He had the loan of a book from me.
His lordship left nothing in his room, sir. Not a coin.
Oh. Well, I'm sure he would have left a coin if he'd had one. Jellyby, here is a half guinea for you.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
What has occurred?
The servants are told nothing.
Oh, come, come. Does a half guinea buy nothing anymore?
Oh. Lady Croom encountered Mrs. Chater during the night.
Where?
On the threshold of Lord Byron's room.
Ah, which was leaving and which entering?
Mrs. Chater was leaving Lord Byron's room.
And where was Mr. Chater?
Well, Mr. Chater and Captain Bryce were drinking cherry brandy. They had the footman to keep the fire up until 3:00. But it was a loud altercation upstairs.
Well, Mr. Hodge.
My lady.
All this to shoot a hare?
A rabbit. No, indeed, a hare. Though very rabbit-like.
My infusion, Jellyby?
Yes, my lady.
Now I have your impudent letters. How dare you?
Madam, I cannot be called to account for what was written in private and read without regard to propriety.
Addressed to me?
Left in my room in the event of my death.
What earthly use is a love letter from beyond the grave?
As much, surely, as from this side of it. The second letter, however, was not addressed to your ladyship.
I have a mother's right to open a letter addressed by you to my daughter, whether in the event of your life, your death, or your imbecility. What do you mean by writing to her of rice pudding when she has just suffered the shock of violent death in our midst?
Whose death?
Yours, you wretch.
Oh, yes, I see.
I do not know which is the madder of your ravings. One envelope full of rice pudding, the other of the most insolent familiarities regarding several parts of my body, but have no doubt which is the more intolerable to me.
Which?
Oh, aren't we saucy when our bags are packed? Your friend has gone before you, and I've dispatched the harlot traitor and her husband, and also my brother, for bringing them here. Such is the sentence you see for choosing unwisely in your acquaintance. Banishment. Lord Byron is a rake and a hypocrite, and the sooner he sails for the Levant, the sooner he will find society congenial to his character.
It has been a night of reckoning.
Indeed. I wish it had passed uneventfully with you and Mr. Chater shooting each other with the decorum due to a civilized house. You have no secrets left, Mr. Hodge. They spilled out between shrieks and oaths and tears. It is fortunate that a lifetime's devotion to the sporting gun has halved my husband's hearing to the ear he sleeps on.
I'm afraid I have no knowledge of what has occurred.
Your trollop was discovered in Lord Byron's room.
Ah, discovered by Mr. Chater?
Who else?
I am very sorry, madam, for having used your kindness to bring my unworthy friend to your notice. He will have to give an account of himself to me, you may be sure.
Your infusion, my lady.
I will see to it.
Yes, my lady. Lord Byron left a letter for you with a valet, sir.
Thank you.
When did he do so?
As he was leaving, your ladyship.
Allow me.
I do not know if it is proper for you to receive a letter written in my house from someone not welcome in it.
Very improper, I agree. Lord Byron's want of delicacy is a grief to his friends, among whom I no longer count myself. I will not read his letter until I have followed him through the gates.
That may excuse the reading, but not the writing.
Your ladyship should have lived in the Athens of Pericles. The philosophers would have fought the sculptors for your idle hour.
Oh, really? Oh, really?
Permit me.
Oh, really?
Now, there's a thing. A letter from Lord Byron, never to be read by a living soul. And, with your indulgence, my own two letters, consigned to the same little funeral pyre of the records of this night at Sidley. There. I will take my leave, madam, at the time of your desiring it.
To the Indies?
The Indies? Why?
To follow the traitor, of course. She did not tell you?
She did not exchange half a dozen words with me.
I expect she did not like to waste the time. The traitor sails with Captain Bryce.
Ah, as a member of the crew?
No. As wife to Mr. Traitor, plant gatherer to my brother's expedition.
I knew he was no poet. Did not know it was botany under the false colours.
He is no more a botanist. My brother paid £50 to have Mr. Chater published, and he will pay £150 to have him picking flowers in the Indies for a year while the wife plays mistress of the captain's quarters. Captain Bryce has fixed his passion on Mrs. Chater.
Her passion is not as fixed as his.
It is a defect of God's humour that he directs our hearts everywhere but to those who have a right to them.
Indeed, madam. But is Mr. Chater deceived?
He insists on it, and finds the proof of his wife's virtue in his eagerness to defend it. Captain Bryce is not deceived, but cannot help himself. He would die for her.
Well, I think, my lady, he would have Mr. Chater die for her.
Indeed. I never knew a woman worth the duel. Or the other way about. Your letter to me goes very ill with your conduct of Mrs. Chater, Mr. Hodge. I've had experience of being betrayed before the ink is dry. But to be betrayed before the pen is even dipped. And with the village notice board. What am I to think of such a performance?
Madam, I was alone with my thoughts in the gazebo when Mrs. Chater ran me to ground. And I, being in such a passion, in an agony of unrelieved desire, I thought in my madness that the Chater, with her skirts over her head, would give me the momentary illusion of the happiness to which I dared not put a face.
I do not know when I have received a more unusual compliment, Mr. Hodge. I hope I am more than a match for Mrs. Chater with her head in a bucket. Does she wear drawers?
She does.
Yes. I've heard that drawers are being worn now. It is unnatural for women to be got up like jockeys. I cannot approve. I know nothing of Pericles or the Athenian philosophers, Mr. Hodge. I can spare them an hour. In my sitting room, when I have bathed. 7 o'clock.
And the Guardian, even in Arcadia, Sex, Literature and Death at Sidley Park. Catchy title.
Not.
Picture of Byron.
Not of Bernard.
Picture of a house, though, in the mail. Byron fought fatal duels, says Don.
I saw it. Let me do this, Claire.
Oh, Gus, that's hopeless. Let's have a look at him.
Leave him alone. He looks fine.
But he's supposed to be Regency and he's wearing trainers and a T-shirt under his coat. Let me have a look in the basket. There's bound to be a fancy waistcoat at least.
Who are you supposed to be? Fanny Hill?
Jane Austen.
Of course. Sorry, it was the cleavage misled me.
Jane Austen was all about sex between the lines, Valentine.
Not now.
No, this is your subject. Do you think I'm the first person to think of this?
No.
I haven't said yet. I like billiard balls.
Yes. There was someone, forget his name, 1820s, who pointed out that from Newton's laws you could predict everything to come. I mean, you'd need a computer as big as the universe, but the formula would exist.
But it doesn't work, does it?
No. It turns out the maths is different.
No. It's all because of sex.
Really?
That's what I think. The universe is deterministic, all right, just like Newton said. I mean, it's trying to be. But the only thing going wrong is people fancying people who aren't supposed to be in that part of the plan.
Ah. The attraction that Newton left out. All the way back to the apple in the garden. Yes. Yes, I think you're the first person to think of this.
Have you seen this? Bonking Byron shot poet. Let's see.
He's done awfully well, hasn't he? How did they all know?
Don't be ridiculous. Your father wants it back. All right. What a fool.
Jealous. I think it's brilliant.
Hello, Gus.
Come on, Gus. I'll lend you a pair of flatties. They'll look period on you.